This is your KVNF Regional Newscast for Tuesday, March 24th. I'm Audrey McCabe. The Business Incubator Center in Mesa County is currently hosting its first ever Ag Awareness Week. The awareness initiative highlights the vital role that agriculture plays in the local economy, environment, and quality of life. Earlier this year, the Business Incubator Center presented a study showing that 40% of the Western Slopes producers were 65 or older. Additionally, nearly half of those farmers were either unsure about whether their descendants wanted to continue their operations or were confident that they wouldn't. Jan Van Winkle, a fellow for the center's AgriWest program and a cattle rancher, told the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel that the consecutive days of spotlight during Ag Awareness Week aims to shape the future of agriculture. The programming raises awareness of opportunities for prospective first-generation farmers and ranchers and showcases the sector's needs to those who work in complementary businesses like banks and retailers. In other agriculture news, peach trees in Paonia are blooming roughly 3 weeks earlier than usual. This increases the risk of crops lost to frost, as the trees will be less tolerant of the cold if temperatures dip down again. David Sterl, a research scientist at the Colorado State University Western Colorado Research Center, told the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel that the trees are susceptible to frost risk at 26 degrees. Though the area will see 80-degree weather this week, it's not impossible for a significant drop in the spring. The town of Paonia has won an award for its 2025 comprehensive plan. The plan, titled A Community-Driven Framework for a Resilient Rural Future, has been awarded a merit award by the American Planning Association Small Town and Rural Division. This national recognition highlights excellence in planning within small towns and rural communities and reflects Paonia's commitment to thoughtful, inclusive, and forward-looking policy development. The award recognizes both the quality of the comprehensive plan and the collaborative process that shaped it. As yesterday's newscast mentioned, the Grand Junction Police Department is warning residents of a new fraud scheme involving scammers impersonating law enforcement or government officials in phone calls. On the Montrose message board, residents have discussed receiving similar fraudulent messages over text. These texts supposedly notify the recipient of an outstanding fine for a traffic violation and request an online payment. According to its website, the Colorado DMV does not initiate contact via unsolicited text messages and emails to demand payment for tickets or to threaten prosecution or suspension of privileges in this manner. You can report scams and suspicious communications to the Federal Trade Commission or the Internet Crime Complaint Center. A pair of orders from President Trump and Interior Secretary Doug Burgum direct national parks to remove interpretive signs and exhibits that disparage figures in American history, as well as those that discuss topics, quote, unrelated to beauty, abundance, or grandeur, end quote, of natural landscapes. Now, leaked data from the Interior reveals parks are struggling to comply with those orders. Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Caroline Yanez has more.
Much of the leaked data is park officials asking whether certain signs, interpretive panels, and exhibits violate the executive and secretarial orders. In our region, many of the signs discuss climate change and environmental damage caused by human activities like extraction, as well as historical information about indigenous peoples and white settlement. Other signs in question, like in Rocky Mountain National Park in Colorado and Arches in Utah, ask visitors to be respectful and to refrain from trampling soil and biological crust, picking wildflowers, and graffitiing rock formations.
For that kind of environmental stewardship information to be targeted and removed would set up the Park Service to fail.
That's Olivia Juarez, public lands coordinator with advocacy group Green Latinos. They say it fits in with the administration's broader agenda.
They want it to fail so that they can make the argument for privatizing our public lands.
The confusion over which signs and exhibits to keep or remove comes amid other challenges like budget and staffing cuts at the Park Service. Caroline Yanez, Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
Small detention centers, operated by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, have come under increased scrutiny in the last year. That's because people are being detained longer and in questionable conditions. One of those holding facilities is in West Glenwood Springs, on Colorado's western slope. ICE appears to have violated its own policy and its city permit by detaining people there for too long. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, Aspen Public Radio's Hallie Zander spoke with social justice reporter Eleanor Bennett to learn more about the findings and what this could mean for the city's permit.
Can you tell us more about what these holding facilities are? It's not a full-on detention facility, right?
Right. ICE uses these short-term holding rooms to process people before they're taken to large detention centers like the one in Aurora. Most of these facilities don't have beds and aren't meant for overnight stays. That's why, until recently, ICE didn't allow agents to detain people there for more than 12 hours. The agency changed its own policy in June, though, increasing the maximum detention time. But the 12-hour limit is still a condition of the special use permit the city granted to ICE back in 2003.
Okay, and you're saying that ICE broke that rule?
It appears so. Aspen Journalism analyzed the most recent ICE data. It shows there was a wave of immigration arrests in Garfield and Pitkin counties last May. We found that ICE detained 8 people at the Glenwood facility that month for longer than 12 hours, and that was before the agency changed its policy in June. The longest time someone was detained for it was 16 hours.
Okay, so how are city officials in Glenwood responding?
They told me last week that the city is planning to conduct its own analysis of the ICE data. It's also reaching out to the federal agency that oversees ICE's special use permit. If the city confirms that ICE violated the 12-hour condition, officials said that could be grounds to revoke the permit and close the holding facility. The city also inspected the site last month after residents voiced concerns about it. It found several issues that needed fixing. That includes emergency exit lighting and outdated fire sprinklers. Here's city attorney Carl Hanlon. He also provides legal counsel to Aspen Public Radio.
It is an issue of incredible importance to the community around what's being done there. The city is, however, obligated to deal with everybody the same way under the code.
Hanlon says the city has given ICE until the end of the month to fix those safety issues, but if ICE has violated the 12-hour rule, the city could hold a hearing to revoke the agency's permit as soon as April.
What does ICE have to say about this?
Yeah, so ICE and the federal agency that oversees its permit did not directly respond to the allegation that it violated the 12-hour rule. A spokesperson for the agency told me they can't verify the accuracy of the data because it was published by a third party. The ICE data comes from the Deportation Data Project at UC Berkeley and UCLA. The group says it gets data sets directly from the government, often through public records requests and lawsuits. ICE also pushed back on other concerns from community members and reporting by state and national news outlets. These include allegations that there's a lack of oversight and, in some cases, poor conditions at these smaller holding facilities. Here's local resident Sally Boughton speaking at a recent city council meeting in Glenwood.
The people being treated so inhumanely are our neighbors, our friends, our family, members of our community. This is a blight on our community, and it is one that the public has been largely unaware of.
But the ICE spokesperson said that its holding facilities conform to national detention standards and are inspected regularly. It did not share any details about what that inspection process looks like, though.
Okay, do we know if closing the Glenwood holding facility would mean fewer ICE arrests?
It's not entirely clear. Residents who have been pressuring the city to close it down think so, but Leon Rodriguez says that's not the whole picture. He's an immigration attorney and a former director of U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. He acknowledged it could result in more overcrowding at larger detention centers, or ICE could send in agents from cities like Denver who are less familiar with the community. Rodriguez said these concerns are only valid to a point, though.
ICE has an obligation to conduct its activities constitutionally. So that means that facilities should not be overcrowded, facilities should not be unsafe, and they need to figure out a different way.
I think it's likely local residents will keep pushing the city to take action until this is resolved, and city officials say they plan to act swiftly.
Okay, well, keep us updated, and thanks for your reporting, Eleanor.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Hallie.
That's your KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Audrey McCabe.